Hey there, all you hep cats and cool kittens. This is your host, the King of Swing, the Tower of Power, Big Daddy Cool, John B. Pica. Hey, we're coming at you a few weeks late. Schedule has just been crazy. I've not been able to do a new episode. I promise we're going to get back on schedule soon. For those of you who are tuning in for the non-magic related material, this week it's a little bit different. We're going to focus mostly on magic, talking about the killer, the witness, and the victim. And today's episode was actually recorded live at a recent Society of American Magicians meeting, Assembly number 50 in Nashville, Tennessee. You're going to hear a few voices on here asking questions. Some of them are kind of in the background, so you might have to listen hard. But you're going to hear Jeff Neal, Gary Flegel, Austin Braswell, and Scott Cantrell and Jason Michaels, two of my really good friends and production partners. And they're going to be contributing to the lecture and to the concepts discussed. So for those of you who are tuning in for the non-magic content, tune back in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a music segment. But until then, enjoy this discussion on the killer, witness, and victim. And don't forget, October 20th, Belcourt Theater, Magic Palooza, starring myself, Jason Michaels, Scott Cantrell, Lonnie Devine, and a host of others, including special guest, world champion, Arthur Trace. I hope to see you there. And in the meantime, enjoy this discussion. My name is John Pica. Tonight we're going to talk about a concept that I discuss in my book, Theatrical Magic, just out this past month. And you can get it at all magic retailers nationwide, including It's Magic Here, although they're sold out right now.
At the moment.
But they will order more if you'd like to get it. This book deals a lot with the theatrical performance of magic. There's a lot of scripts in it. But one of the things I go into is character development, and there's a chapter called The 12-Step Program. And it's basically the 12 steps of character development. And we're going to focus on one of them tonight, and that is the concept of the killer, the witness, and the victim. And we'll go into that a little bit more in detail in just a moment. The reason that we wanted to focus on this tonight, and Jason had asked me to go ahead and speak about this, is because we see a lot of performers who are really struggling with performing material, with choosing material, because they're not quite sure who they are on stage. They're not quite sure what they are on stage. And the 12-step program helps you decide who you are on stage, but tonight we're going to talk about what you are on stage. Hence, the killer, the witness, and the victim. It's real simple. The killer is the magician who controls the action. He controls the magic. The magic flows from him. It is a result of his power, whether that be mystical power, or the power of his personality, the power of his mind, physical strength, whatever that is. He is the direct cause of what is happening on stage. Not only the magic, but everything else going on around him. All of the other characters, all of the other players, even the audience members are his to control. That's the killer. The witness is just what it sounds like. This is the magician who amazing things happen around him. He's not necessarily in control of them, but they happen when he is around. And they may or may not happen as a result of his ability and power and strength. A good example of this is the mad scientist character. Rudy Covey used to play Lab Man. And you got the sense that things were happening. Things were happening around him that you got the sense that he was facilitating them, but he wasn't really in control of them. He was really the witness, the observer. Doug Henning was the classic witness. Things happened around him because he was magical. He didn't necessarily set forth to make them happen, but they happened around him, and he was just as amazed as everybody else. And finally, the victim is exactly what it sounds like. That is the person that magic happens to. they are not in control at all. They are usually the foil of some magical mishap. Carl Ballantyne is a perfect example. Actually, he doesn't do any magic in his act anymore because it never works. He's a victim of magic gone wrong. Another good example is Cardini. Cardini, who was a masterful manipulator, masterful sleight of hand artist, things were happening because of his skill, but because he was drunk, he wasn't in control of it, so he became the victim of his own magic. Does that make sense? Yes. Tommy, you've got a frown on your face like you're not quite with me. Are you with me?
My back.
All right. So those are the three basic archetypes of performance personas that you can assume. Austin is a good victim. When he plays the victim, he's really funny. See? He just did it. So the reason we want to talk about that is we want you guys to think about who you are on stage and who you want to be on stage. Generally, when you choose to be the killer, the witness, or the victim, you want to set that as your performance style. It's possible for the killer to be a witness, but probably a killer doesn't want to be a victim. The victim could potentially do a routine where he becomes the killer for a moment, but that might be too incongruous with his character. So when you're selecting material, when you say, okay, I want to be in control, I want to be the illusionist, I want to be the conjurer, the sorcerer, well, you're not going to do a routine then that contradicts that. Do you see where I'm going with that? And likewise, if you choose to be the one who observes great things happening, you're probably not going to want to do something where it happens to you, just in general. There are exceptions to every rule. That's not a hard, fast rule. But those are things to think about. So with that concept in mind, we're going to watch some of the performances tonight. But before we do that, I want to entertain questions from you guys based on this principle, because I don't know what questions you have, so it's hard for me to address them up front. So please feel free to ask questions, and let's have some discussion on this. Yes?
Do you think it takes more of a charismatic person to be the killer versus the witness or the victim?
Does it take a more charismatic person to be the killer as opposed to the witness or the victim? Define charismatic.
Charismatic meaning a big...
If you mean a larger-than-life personality, no. A good example of this is a magician named Rocco. Rocco is he is kind of the quintessential killer in more ways than one. He uses guns in his acts, but he's very low key. He's very smooth. You know, he's not this big, grand, gregarious person. So the actual personality, the personality type, isn't necessarily a determining factor of the performance style. When we're talking about killer, witness, and victim, we're really talking about assuming a specific underlying style that you're going to take on, and they're not necessarily interconnected. They can be, but they're not necessarily interconnected, the personality and the style. As a matter of fact, one thing that can be used to great effect is contrast. You know, you could have someone for comedy. Let's say you have someone who is this very larger than life, you know, I'm the greatest thing that ever happened, and everything goes wrong and comes back on him. That could work for comedic effect. Just ask Scott Cantrell. I'm just kidding, Scott. But they're not necessarily related. They can be, but they don't have to be. Other questions? Comments?
I'll make a comment. I really feel these thoughts, because when I was creating my show for the last 6-7 years that I've been working on it, I initially started out doing one thing, and it has evolved over time. But one of the things that I've noticed is that there are certain routines that I would do that I just didn't like. It just didn't feel right for me. I didn't necessarily realize that what I was doing specifically was violating this concept. But I knew that something felt wrong. It just didn't feel like it fit well for me. While I would see someone do an effect that and maybe the same effect I had been doing, while it worked very well for them, it didn't work for them. What I was doing was I was doing something that really didn't work for my character. What really wasn't congruent for what I was trying to accomplish. And as I continue to try to hone what I'm doing, I'm continually changing material out, trying to get rid of things that may not be exactly what I'm trying to accomplish. I mean, John, you've worked with me for a long time. Is there anything, you can feel free to use me if you want to use me as an example on any of my show. Feel free.
Well, a good current example in Jason's show is his ring routine. Now, in the ring routine, he lets it might seem at first that the spectator is not able to follow his instructions, that he might become the victim or the witness. But because of the way he plays the routine and plays the character and how he has developed himself on stage, you are crystal clear that it is intentional and that he is in control of what is happening with that audience volunteer. Even though the audience volunteer is not doing supposedly what he has asked them to do, you still know that they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, because he's never out of control. He's never the witness and he's never the victim. Would you agree with that, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely my intent. I mean, I try to make it a point to feel as though I'm always, and that's one of the hard parts about writing a script or creating material, taking something, selecting material, is that there's some great stuff out there, but it doesn't necessarily always work for what I'm trying to accomplish. So I'm attempting at all times in my show to be that in charge killer type character.
Yes.
You describe the witness as the magician that the magic happens around,
mm-hmm.
and is more of a witness to it as opposed to being in control.
That's right.
And then the victim is, what did you say?
The magician that the magic happens to. Magic happens to the witness.
So, like, okay, so is that...
Or really, to the victim, I mean.
Is that really a different character type or a different presentation?
Well, it is, because the way you approach it, the witness is not going to be, the witness is going to watch incredible things happen around him. They're going to be fantastic things that are happening around him. The victim, they are things that are happening to him. Hence the example of Cardini. He's trying to throw away the cards, but he can't because they keep coming back. And he's the victim of his own magic.
So is it irrelevant whether or not the effects happening to the victim are positive or negative?
It is irrelevant whether they are positive or negative. They can be positive. They can be negative. Normally, the victim is generally going to be a comedic character, just by nature of the way the magic happens.
Isn't the key just that it's out of his control?
Yes.
But it's technically out of the control of the witness.
Well, we don't know that it's out of the control of the witness. What we know is that there doesn't seem to be a direct effort to control the action on the part of the witness.
It seems like out of three characters, the one character who can encompass all three, the easiest is the witness.
That's right. And that's why I use the example of Doug Henning. Doug Henning, the magic was always happening around him, but you knew it was happening because of him. He wasn't overtly saying, I am going, you know, here I am the master conjurer, controller of the forces of nature. But you kind of got the idea that, yeah, he was. If he didn't show up that night, none of this could be possible. But with the case of the earlier example, Rudy Colby, you don't get that feeling. You feel like because he's playing kind of the mad scientist, laboratory doctor type of character, that those things could be happening to anyone or could be happening around anyone if they were in the right place at the right time. And that's the big difference there.
I think another thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but with a witness may, and a victim, I guess, could do this too, but a witness may give up control of these magical forces and effects to the audience or audience members at some time.
So that's right. And
he gives credit to the audience for achieving the magic or for saying the right thing at the right time and so forth.
That's right.
Thus the magic is happening around him. It's indirectly caused by him because he's given the power to the audience.
Kreskin is a great example of this. Kreskin, the mind reader, the mentalist, he in general, things are happening around him. He's more or less the facilitator, the witness to what is naturally occurring within the minds of the audience, within the minds of the spectators. So that's kind of the presentational slant he takes.
So what would you classify Johnny Thompson as?
Johnny Thompson is the comic killer. He is a killer.
A killer?
Yes. Even though there are some things that happen that seem to be out of control for him, he still carries himself as though he is in control. And you know instinctively as the audience that he is. A lot of it's in the attitude. That's why I'm saying you can do things that might contradict a little bit, but as long as you maintain that base character and you communicate that, hey, that this maybe looks like it didn't go right, because it does turn out fantastic at the end, you realize with Johnny Thompson that he was in control the whole time. Or at least that's how I read his act. Johnny, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Any other thoughts, questions?
So would you classify the disappearing bandana trick as a routine, as a witness routine or a victim routine?
A witness routine. Yeah. That's a great example of a witness routine. Any other questions? Comments?
When you go through a routine in an act, do you keep this the three character types in the back of your mind as far as trying to stick with one in particular, or do you find yourself, allowing... Because to me, it doesn't seem like there's a huge difference between the victim and the witness. And if you're going to go with a character type of that you could flow back and forth between the two character types really easily, and then possibly even be a killer in the end, where you've either matured through the act or you've just...
Well, you could do that. And really strong, experienced performers can do that well. The problem comes with particularly with new performers, is that they've not got a sense of who they are on stage yet in any one of the three categories. So to try and float between them becomes a very dangerous type of thing to undertake. And I would dare say most magicians, because let's be honest, people who are gravitate towards magic are not your traditional theatrical or performance minded type people. So some of that performance experience is lacking on the front end. So that's why we see so many of these schizophrenic magicians. They're Lance Burton one trick, they're Chris Angel the next, they're David Copperfield the next, they're Johnny Thompson, they're whoever the next trick, because they've not decided up front the very basis of what they're going to be on stage. And after you decide what, then you discover who. And hence the 12, there's 12 steps total. This part is step 3. But it's just one little piece of a very intricate 12-step process. But for example, Big Daddy Cool is the killer. And I know that from the beginning to the end. So any routine that I develop specifically to put that character forward and not compromise it. Does that make sense? Are we on the same page? Any other questions? Bueller? Yes?
So there would be certain types of magic pertaining to what character you want to go ahead and take on there?
Well, you know, that's a good question. The question posed is, are there certain types of tricks or certain type of magic that better suits one character or another? And the answer is no. The answer is you can take any trick, you can take any style of magic, any genre of magic, and you can use it in context of these characteristics. Hence the card manipulator who can't get rid of the cards because he's, you know, being a victim of his magic. Or the mentalist who, here's a good example, good contrast. We said Kreskin was the witness. Max Maven, on the other hand, is very definitely the killer. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that all of this is happening because of him. And he's in control of everything happening. So, you know, within genres and different kinds of tricks, you know, there's really not a hard and fast rule. It's determining what you like and how you can apply this principle to your own performance.
Can you name a mentalist victim?
A mentalist victim?
John Archer is kind of like a mentalist victim.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
The guy on TV?
The British guy?
John Archer.
Yeah.
He's sort of a victim on occasion.
Yeah, and he does because he does comedy mentalism, and just like John was saying, many times the person who plays the victim is going to be a comedic type character. So since he's comedy, he does play a victim, and he does mentalism. So yeah, that would be a good example.
Yeah, that is. Come on in, Dick Stubb.
Sam. I saw him walk
by. Hey, it's Dick Stubb!
I saw him walk by. I was like, he'll come in here.
No.
He stays down at the castle.
Sorry, Professor. I just got in from out of town.
Dick, we've been talking about the killer, the witness, and the victim. It's fascinating discussion. Sorry you were late. We can start all over just for Dick. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're not. I'm just kidding.
Download it to your iPod.
You were doing it. It was good, my friend.
Well, thanks. I didn't have written notes. I'm just kind of talking off the cuff here about things that I try to incorporate and try to inject into my own performance and things I try to help other performers find in themselves. This is something I'm really passionate about. Finding out who you are on stage, determining what you are on stage, I think it's something that really, even if you just do part of what we've talked about tonight and make a conscious choice, even if you don't know how to implement the techniques, but you at least say, okay, I'm going to be the killer. I'm not sure what that means, but that's what I'm going to be. You're a step ahead of 99% of the other magicians in the world of magic.
Yeah, okay. I would just continue with a comment that says, and I think John already said this, but I think it bears repeating, is that everybody can, if we watch, especially a young performer, and when I mean young, I mean somebody who hasn't been in magic very long, because they haven't seen a lot of magic, because they tend to be influenced very easily by what they see, they tend to do, one minute they're one character, one thing, the next minute they're something else, they're very incongruent, so it's very easy to spot that.
Yeah. And we've all done that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's part of how you start. But there comes a point where you have to decide for yourself who you're going to be. You can't, you know, there's already a Lance Burton. There's already a Chris Angel. We don't need
more. So, John,
more.
You'd have to base your whole show around being either the killer, the victim, or the...
I do think that it is the underlying primary thread. You can veer You can veer off that path occasionally, but that's where you're coming back to. That's part of your foundation. And at least for me, that's how I do it. All of the characters I play, even Uncle Eddie Sparks, is the killer. And that's just because that's the way I prefer to perform. I prefer to be the person making the magic happen. But, Austin is a great victim.
I was going to ask about that. The Gravity Cups, you guys saw that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Did it on stage the other day. Nothing happened. It doesn't fit me. It doesn't fit the victim whatsoever. I'm trying to be more of a killer when I'm fit for a victim.
Well, you just tend to light up when you're the victim. There's a different energy about you, and it's not necessarily a natural thing or an unnatural thing. Because with training, you can assume whatever character you want. You can assume whatever character you want and be effective. But when you're young, there does seem to be a natural leaning towards one or the other. And you're still young in magic. So, and when you play the, like, dude, you had me in stitches with the ball and choking on the ball thing. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in a long time. And that's totally being the victim of that magic happening. Gary, you had something to add?
Yeah. If you're doing a standalone routine that doesn't go with the whole thing, you could very easily change your character for that routine.
You're right. That is true.
But the other thing is, after seeing Austin perform in this the Gravity Cups thing that he's talking about, and then do his other stuff too, it's an interesting part of seeing his development. He took time to write a script for
mm-hmm.
that,
yeah.
and that's a new experience. And even
yeah.
if it's a different focus for him,
yeah.
going through the process of writing and developing a script, the scripting and all of that is a valuable thing. Even if it's something that doesn't fit in with everything else you do, it was a worthwhile learning experience as you go through.
And then,
I would add that just because, yeah, do it anyway,
right.
and as you do it, it will evolve into who you, there's a tendency to become who you are naturally. If you are naturally a sort of a type A personality, you have that killer attitude just towards life in general, that's going to probably be how you are more on stage, unless you make a conscious effort not to be. So as you work on, the Gravity Cups, it's totally possible that as you do it, you find that the more you become a victim as you do it, the funnier it gets and the better responses you get. Test it out.
The finish, there's several points in the middle, but especially that end point where the ball ends up appearing in a place that's not expected, that could easily be worked around to become
a victim
ending.
And then the ball.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great point. And the other thing that you should know, too, is although that we say that the victim tends to be a comedic character, it doesn't have to be. A victim could be a very serious character. Likewise, the killer doesn't have to be serious. He doesn't have to be grandiose. A good example is Jeff Hobson. Jeff Hobson is a killer. He's a very flamboyant killer.
Super.
And he's very comical. He's a comedian. He's a comic killer. But he's still that killer archetype. Same with Fielding West. Whit Hayden, Michael Finney. As a matter of fact, most of the real good, solid comic guys that I can think of off the top of my head are killers. So you can use contrast of styles too. You don't have to be serious. You don't have to be morose. You don't have to be zany for one or the other. It's just the way you approach presenting the magic, the way you approach creating the scripts. Does that make sense? Any other questions? Mom?
Okay. For Dylan's case, since you said young, how do you direct, or what do you find in Dylan at this age with his hunger to learn and perform magic? Where does he stand and how would you direct him?
He keeps learning. Keep learning and keep keep performing, keep trying out different things. Keep.
Have you seen them? What would you consider him more of? Like.
Well, I've not seen enough to. I can't make that judgment really. On any one particular, you know, I brought Austin up as an example only because recently he demonstrated a real strong victim penchant. But, you know, I've not seen anyone in this room enough other than Scott and Jason to say one way or another what you should or shouldn't gravitate to or what you should or shouldn't be. That's a personal choice. And you might have a natural gravitation to one or the other, but you can also create that too. It doesn't have to be just something that you naturally fall into. You can create that character as well. And if you want specific instruction on how to do that, buy the book, Theatrical Magic, available from Leading Wizards. And unless there are any other questions or comments, I'm going to sit down and we'll go on to the next part.